talking Colorado Mesa sports on Mav Day on the Jim Davis Show.
We continue on with Mav Day today as the Colorado Mesa Mavericks baseball team gets ready to head to San Angelo, Texas to score off against Angelo State. Hit a big home run in Saturday's come-from-behind win over St. Edwards to capture the regional and move on to the super regional. Mavericks junior center fielder Rob Sherrar joins us. Rob, appreciate the time as always. Good to have you back on with us.
Of course. It's great to be back. Thanks for having me.
And it's even better when we're talking about you guys winning the regional, going to the super regional. Take us through the home run that you hit on Saturday, part of that that comeback against St. Edwards.
Well, the big takeaway was me just trying to swing easy. Me and a couple of my teammates have been putting a lot of work in the cage. We keep throwing around the number 75%. We're trying to keep the swing at 75%. That's where the magic happens.
Who you been working on that with? Who's been out there with you in the cage, you know, those hours, that time, you know, working on your swing and trying to really perfect that approach?
Yeah, a lot of the time goes with Harrison Rogers, our shortstop, Julian Boyd, our right fielder, and then Jonathan Gonzalez, our second baseman.
When you look at coming back in that game, because, look, there was still the if game, but it seemed like when you got down 3-0, you wanted to finish it. Kind of like what the Nuggets did to the Lakers last night. You wanted to finish it. You didn't want to play another game. You wanted to get ready to maybe hopefully have a chance to host the Super Regional. But it seemed like you said, okay, we're down 3-0. That's enough. Let's go get this thing and let's finish it right here in this first game on Saturday.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there was a ton of motives to winning that one game. I mean, playing the doubleheader would have been tough, but we would have been able to handle it. But, you know, we've come back from behind a lot of times this year, and we didn't hit a panic button or anything. I mean, not just me individually, the whole team was still ready to go. We just had to find the momentum there, and we did.
And this is a team, Rob, that's had to win some close games. As you mentioned, had to come back from down 3-0 in that one against St. Edwards. Yeah, that first game against Colorado Christian in the RMAC tournament where you had to come back and win 4-3. You've also had blowout games, the game against Metro State where you put up 20 runs, the 21 runs against Regis. You've been able to, as a group, been able to win games in different ways, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. The thing that stays universal throughout those games is our approach. You know, we're trying to stay aggressive. We're trying to stay focused. The team as a whole is bringing the right approach to the plate. Our pitchers are bringing the right approach to the mound. And, you know, we try and keep that constant regardless of what the score is.
We're talking with Mavericks center fielder Rob Sherrar joining us today on the program. You're the leadoff guy, but you also got some pop, as we referenced, in your bat with that home run on Saturday. Kind of take us through the mentality of being a leadoff guy and what that means in terms of taking some pitches. Sometimes you're going to have to walk and get on base. You want to put yourself in scoring position early on. But then there's those opportunities where you're able to go out and do some damage with a big swing.
Yeah. And quite honestly, I don't much see the difference between the leadoff spot and any other spot in the lineup. You know, you're looking for a pitch to hit. You're not swinging at anything out of the zone. You know, early in the count, you're looking for your pitch, whatever that might be. And, you know, you're keeping the approach simple. The objective is to get on base. And that goes through 1-9.
We're talking with Rob Sherrar, Maverick center fielder, with us today on the Team Sports Network. This is the first Maverick team in the history of the program. We're talking about some outstanding teams that have gone to carry North Carolina to the World Series, the year they had it in Texas as well. But the first time ever, Rob, that a Maverick baseball team has hit 100 home runs and had 100 stolen bases in a season. And you've been a big part of that, you and Julian Boyd and Harrison Rogers and Conrad Villafuerte and others. But, I mean, that says a lot about how good this team is, where we've talked about the expectation was maybe this team might take a step or two back with all the talent that graduated from last year. But you guys did something that group didn't do last year and nobody's ever done before in Maverick history.
Yeah, I mean, that's been a pleasure to watch. We've all been trying to hone in our game since the fall, and we've worked hard. You know, we had a chip on our shoulder because we heard all about that too, how we thought, or some people thought this would be like a build year because we lost so much talent last year. But to see us not only succeed but blow those expectations out of the water, you know, it's great.
Now it's Angelo State. You get to go back there again. We're kind of hoping on Sunday, the way things were going with UT Tyler and Angelo State, that maybe Tyler would come up with the upset. You'd be hosting them for the Super Regional, but unfortunately that didn't work out that way. You have to go back to San Angelo, Texas, to play Angelo State, team you faced last year to go to Cary, North Carolina. Outstanding pitching, and that's kind of the thing that they hang their hat on, Rob. This is going to be some really good arms that you face in Super Regional play starting on Friday.
Yeah, we look forward to it. We always look forward to the competitive at-bats, you know, taking competitive pitches, getting the right pitches. I think the team's going to be locked in for that. And as well as not hosting the Super Regional, we'll be able to handle that. You know, there's been years in the past where we should have hosted the Super Regional. You know, teams in the past, they didn't have the Bergman Stadium. And with the JUCO World Series going on at the same time, they'd always have to go to Angelo or wherever else they had to go for the Super Regional. So we'll be able to handle that. We feel at home, away, for a Super Regional, if that makes sense.
Well, and you guys have been there before to San Angelo, Texas. And I know I was talking with the skipper, Chris Hanks, about what makes that tough. It's an older turf field. They do get really good crowds at Angelo State, like you do here at Bergman Field, but they get some perhaps even bigger crowds to watch Rams baseball down there. But the fan base is an interesting base. They tend to be very vocal. As Coach Hank said, they tend to probably not be controlled by administration where they should be. But, I mean, those are just some of the challenges you guys face coming up on Friday. But those are all things that you've experienced before when you've gone down there, of course, as early as last year.
Yeah, the crowd is not really of concern to me. The heckling is just part of the game, and I think it adds to the playoff atmosphere. You know, it's about how you handle it. It's just heckling, and I think it makes the game fun, puts a smile on your face if you let it.
And I think there's, you know, in talking to guys that I know that have played, that there's just abusive heckling. It's not creative. It's just mean-spirited. But when there's occasionally one where you just kind of go, okay, that was kind of funny. Have you ever had one of those where somebody's directed one at you and it's like, okay, that was a kind of a funny little barb that you sent my way?
Yeah, last year at Angelo, I was able to hear most of the heckling towards other teammates. I didn't do much playing there, but you know, I was doing my job as I was going out and warming up my right fielder in between innings, and a few of the fans up the first baseline, you know, they said something like, "Hey man, you keep doing this, you're gonna get MVP for ball boy," and you know, it made me laugh. I let it make me laugh because it was funny. It was good.
And how good does that feel that you're going from warming up your right fielder, warming up a Julian Boyd or whoever, to now being out there and being a big part of it? So much for that ball boy stuff, right?
Yeah, it feels great. And not that it's anything about those fans, that, you know, that I owe them a show or anything, but it this whole year has felt great to kind of switch my own role. And I'm willing to say that I put the work in to earn it, too. You know, my teammate, John Gonzalez, Harrison Rogers, Julian Boyd, Conrad Villafuerte, we've all put in so much work together to where, you know, they're accredited to my success too as well.
What have they done to help you develop into the player that you are? Take us through that a little bit. I mean, other than, you know, they're obviously supportive and you guys have all, you know, emerged as leaders of this baseball team for this 2023 season. But maybe a thing or two that some of the guys have done that have really helped you personally get to where you are, Rob.
Yeah, we act as leaders to ourselves amongst our peers in times of, like, struggling and, you know, regarding mental approach or anything, mechanics. We've gotten so accustomed to each other's swings, to how we think, that we're able to pinpoint what's going on when someone's failing. And, you know, me personally, I've been helped with, mechanically, during a game, if I come up to Julian or Harrison, I go, "Hey, what'd you see?" I get a response like that, and they're usually right. I mean, we've been around each other for so long. They've seen my swing so many times. They're able to pinpoint that. And same goes for them. If, you know, if they ever ask me what's going on or what I think, I'm very comfortable with answering on the spot.
All right, Rob, a couple questions to ask you that have nothing to do with what you do for the Mavericks. Maybe possibly tied in a little bit, but favorite baseball team, favorite baseball player for you all time?
Oh, man. Favorite baseball player is tough. I'd have to go. I wear number 9, too. I'd have to go Ted Williams as my favorite baseball player of all time, even though I've never seen him play. I just loved his attitude. Anything that I've ever read about him has been like, wow, this guy's awesome. And then favorite team, favorite MLB team is the Dodgers. I grew up watching the Dodgers.
Still like you, Rob. You're still a good guy. You're welcome on the program anytime, even with that. So being a being a long-suffering Rockies fan, okay, so...
Yeah, you know what? I got condolences is what I'll say.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Condolences. I do appreciate that. I appreciate the sympathy this morning.
How awesome. But as for an individual team and the Dodgers that has been my favorite to watch, the late, you know, going into the 2010s, 2008, 2009, 2010, 2011 with Matt Kemp, and that team was super fun to watch as a kid. But obviously, you know, 2017, 2018, 2019, and then the winning year, I think it was 2020 for the World Series. That team was just great to watch with the explosion of talent that came out of nowhere.
Okay, if you were stuck on a deserted island and you only had one thing that you could eat, what would it be? Favorite thing?
It's got to be Chipotle. If I could eat Chipotle for the rest of my life for every meal, I would.
Okay. What's the one thing you will never eat?
Gosh, probably like if this island was full of artichokes or something, I'd starve.
Not even some guac? Not a little guac on the Chipotle?
Did you ask what thing I wouldn't eat?
One thing you wouldn't eat. Obviously, you'll eat Chipotle, but the one thing that you will never eat? What is that? Deserted island or not? Just, no, never going to eat that.
Gosh, it's got to be something funky. Something to do with fish.
Right.
It's got to be like, I don't even. You know what's always grossing me out is the platter that comes just like a full fried fish. I don't think I'd ever dig into that.
Eyes and all.
It's got the eye and everything, and yeah, it's just creepy.
Yeah, it's got
the
eyeballs in it. Yeah. Probably got the brains, the intent. It's just like, what?
Mm-hmm. I'm with
liver
you on
and
that.
Onions, too.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, liver and onions. Bear jerky. A guy that used to coach football here in town, Dan Gallus, coached at Grand Junction, gave me bear jerky one time. It's the most disgusting thing I've ever tasted. You do not
really
want to eat. Yeah, it's absolutely, it was the greasiest, nastiest thing I think I've ever tasted.
Oh, man. You know, it's funny. My dad had a friend that gave us some bear jerky, and it was great. I wonder if something had to go wrong in that.
Maybe because it was bad, Rob. Trust me.
Bear may have had a diet.
Thank goodness
like mine.
I didn't experience that.
Yeah, it was. Well, I'm glad we've had different experiences with bear jerky when we've sampled it. If, let's say, favorite music artist, who would that be? Or artist? We'll give you a couple here.
This one's easy. Favorite all time is the Eagles. I could listen to the Eagles for the rest of my life. After that, I'd probably go Led Zeppelin, and then.
Rob, are you like 60 years old? Are you about my age?
Because
that sounds like
great,
that sounds like stuff that I like. So
you can interview anyone from my team. They're all going to tell you I'm an old soul. I love this old music. I can't really stand the new stuff.
Okay, favorite Eagles song, favorite Zeppelin song?
Favorite Eagles song, I have to go Lion Eyes.
Great.
It's like six minutes long of awesomeness. And then
Bernie Ledden, early era Eagles stuff, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then favorite Led Zeppelin song, probably Hey, Hey, What Can I Do?
Oh, yeah, which they never
That's
released.
Off the board, yeah.
Which they never That's released the on an album.
Best Eagles solo career. Henley, Walsh, Frey, Felder.
It's got to be Walsh. One of my favorite songs is, I'm drawing a blank right now, but.
The Rocky Mountain Way?
Oh, man. No,
Life's been
he
good.
Talks about, he got a mansion, don't know the price. I've never been there.
Oh, it's Life's Been Good.
Price. Life's Been Good to Me?
Yeah.
Life's Been Good to Me.
Which the Eagles sing
you.
On that song, too. Yeah, yeah, it's a great song. Check out another one. I recommend Meadows from Joe Walsh.
Okay.
It hasn't
I'll literally
like,
take that right after this phone call.
He screams at the beginning of it for like about 20 seconds, and then it gets really, really good. You're like, why is Joe Walsh screaming here? Like he just stuck his hand in a, you know, in a food processor. But trust me, you'll like Meadows. It's a really good song.
All right. I'm definitely giving that a listen.
All right. We've learned a little more about Rob Sherrar today, and I think we're better for it. Hey, Rob, I appreciate it. Thanks. Best of luck to you and the Mavs down in Texas, okay?
Appreciate you, sir. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks for coming on. Rob Sherrar, always a delight to talk with Rob Sherrar, any of the Maverick baseball
Stock
players.
Stock down with the Dodgers. Stock up
with everything else.
With Zeppelin.
And see, you're not an Eagles
I'm
fan.
I'm not a huge Eagle. It's Eagles, I respect the ability and the talent, and I acknowledge they have great songs, just not for me.
But is there a song that you hear